Obi-Wan Kenobi's standalone picture. Now that's a rumor I haven't heard in about 30 minutes. Everyone's going on about some Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone picture. I haven't heard anything of it. To me, it sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, as you might say. But what do I know? On with the Resistance broadcast.
Welcome back to the Resistance broadcast, where this week in Star Wars Wars, we'll debate whether Lucasfilm should even make a Kenobi movie. My name is John Hoey. Thanks so much for joining us today. Simon Kinberg writing a Star Wars movie? Do we need an heir apparent to John Williams? And do we want a Snoke book? We'll find out if the Force is with us in just a little bit. But let's say hi to James Baney, Patrick Covey, and Bill Sheehy. What's up, fellas?
Hey, Daisy Ridley was in that other movie, not Star Wars. What was it? Murder on the Kenobi Express.
Oh.
I don't think that's a movie.
It's going to be. No, it's actually not going to be a movie, to be true.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was all about the Reezy Diddley. Apparently, I've been doing my research wrong.
Ah.
Throwback.
Great to be back on the show.
I don't know about you guys, but I've been practicing my rendition of One Shining Moment in preparation for my upcoming win in This Is March Madness. So happy to be here. Let's talk some Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to lose a Star Wars war, you might as well try to win March Madness. Speaking of Star Wars March Madness, find our polls at hashtag Star Wars March Madness. Remember to vote on the polls, and they are for coolest Star Wars character, as it will be up to you to decide which characters move on each week in each round in our bracket tournament. And keep your eyes on your bracket to see how you're doing, because the person who submitted their bracket with the highest point total at the end of the tournament will win a Resistance Broadcast t-shirt of your choice. For those of you who don't care about that and want to take the quick and easy path, you can buy a Resistance Broadcast t-shirt at any time over at our store at tpublic.com/user/resistance broadcast. I just got both of our Kylo Ren shirts in the mail yesterday, and the dark side of the Force is with me, but now let's find out if the Force is with all of us. Bill, what do you got for us this week?
In the words of the late, great Samuel L. Jackson, take a seat. Our first story today, guys, is about Star Wars Rebel producer Simon Kinberg. He is apparently writing a Star Wars movie. He has written some hits like X-Men Days of Future Past and Sherlock Holmes, but he has also written, let's just call them clunkers, like 2015's Fan Four Stick or Fantastic Four, and the 2008 classic starring Anakin Skywalker himself, Jumper. So let me ask you guys this. Is the Force with you on Simon Kinberg writing a Star Wars anthology film, John Hoey?
Not really. I mean, I'm not impassioned on this, but I mean, he hasn't written anything that's like blown me away. So is he just getting this opportunity because of his connection through Lucasfilm? I'm not like dead set against it, but I'm leaning no, because it's a Star Wars movie. Like, there's got to be better writers they can find. So I just feel like it's one of those things where like, well, we know him and he asked for it and this and that. I'm leaning no, that the Force is really not with me.
Patrick Covey, is the Force with you on Simon Kinberg writing a Star Wars movie?
I'm going to take my cash from my clunkers. Thank you very much. The Force is not with me since both those recent films were absolute flops. I don't know. Maybe that was something to do with directorial vision. Maybe this guy is a perfectly fine writer and, you know, we're just throwing bad wind in his direction. And maybe he's a really cool dude at heart and we're missing out here. But you never know with Kathleen Kennedy. You don't know if you're going to be on a project 2 weeks from now.
Gotcha. And James Baney, is the Force with you on Simon Kinberg?
Definitely agree with these guys. I don't really feel that excited about Simon Kinberg coming in. I know he's done some stuff, but I looked at his filmography today, like as a producer and even as a writer, and I'm like, man, you're like 1 in 3. Like you have like a few things in there that I'm like, I'll let that one slide, but it's like full of like X-Men and stuff that I'm just like, I don't like the X-Men movies. So even you're saying like he did some good stuff like the X-Men movies, and I'm like,
Days of Future Past was really good.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like I really got sucked in on First Class and I thought it was really good, and then I bought it and then I rewatched it and I was like, this movie's really bad, I don't like this movie. And then I went and saw Days of Future Past and I was like, this is awesome. And then like I kind of rewatched it again and I was like, it's not that great. It's like okay at best. And then I was like, but I'm gonna get sucked into the last one. And I went and saw that last one, and it no wool over my eyes. I hated that last movie. I walked out of the theater and I even told the people who worked there, I was like, that movie sucked. But I don't know that he necessarily worked on the last one, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting back to the point, is Force With You now, Simon Kinberg, whatever.
I guess as I usually like to say sometimes, the Force has kind of met with me on this, because I love Days of Future Past, still do, but when you make a movie as bad as Fan4Stick or Fantastic Four, I'm going to have a couple of reservations, but we'll see. He's doing the new Dark Phoenix movie. If that's good, I'll change my mind and I'll be on board. But the Force is with Matt a little bit on this one. All right.
Is the Force stick with you,
Bill? The Force stick is with me. Thank you. Is with me. All right. On to the next one. The man responsible for the lifeblood of Star Wars films, composer John Williams, has announced that Episode 9 will be his final contribution to the Star Wars saga, stepping away from the franchise after that film. Here's the pitch, guys. With John Williams leaving, Star Wars should find a mainstay composer once Williams leaves, instead of having a different composer for every film. Is the Force with you on this, John?
Yes, with a caveat. Mm-hmm. So I say yes, but per series. So while I like enjoyed what Giacchino did employing Williams' themes in Rogue One, I thought he did a terrific job. I think having one solid mainstay composer will create more like fluidity throughout each series. So like, for example, like Rian Johnson's trilogy, I think there should be one composer who composes that series so that they could take their themes for those characters, use them how they know to use them. And then the, you know, Benioff and Weiss series of films have another composer tackle that. So do it that kind of way. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, you can't ask one composer to do 10 films in 10 years anyway for one franchise, so I think they should do it, but segmented by series of films, so that person can kind of create their own 3-chapter thing and have their little journey. So I say yes, the Force is with me, with that little caveat.
Great points, John. Is the Force with you on this, James Bainey?
My thoughts on this originally were that I think that they should go single composer, single composer, single composer, until they found one that just fans were like, dude, that guy knocked it out of the park, bring him back. And then you kind of have like, you know, him continue to return and return. And it gives a lot of different people opportunities to become that final person. But I actually changed my mind on it hearing what John had to say. I think you're absolutely right, John. You got to put one guy in charge of the 3 movies, you know, or like a trilogy, and let him do that thing. And then on the other hand of it, you got to have the individual composers come along for like the series with the Benioff and Wise stuff. Mm-hmm. Let one composer do the first film, let another one do the second. And then once that franchise finds its footing and we know where we're going, let a single composer do like the last 2 or the last 3. And then those themes really close on the final few movies of that. So
can we timestamp March 12th, 2018?
I knew you were going to go there as the time that James Bainey agreed with
John.
Yeah.
That's cute. That's very, very cute. I'm glad that mom and dad finally agree on something. All right. Pat, is the Force with you on this?
No, the Force is not with me on this. I like the concept of allowing multiple composers to come in and play in the Star Wars sandbox. I don't want this exclusive club of one mentality where, oh, that guy, like Giacchino, he's the top dog. No one else is allowed in. Giacchino's the only person who could score this music. I want to hear differing themes. I want to hear different composing strategies brought into Star Wars. I want to see these different series in different ways. I want to hear these different themes and thematics that we've come to know with certain composers. You can tell how certain composers move their music regardless of what the film is about. Mm-hmm. You know that that composer has their specific set of style and skills that they put into the music. They're little trademark things. So I definitely want to see that. This is going to sound kind of mean, but keep Hans Zimmer away, please.
I agree.
Also, Kevin Kiner, get this man in the cinematic setting. Kevin Kiner, the dude's already been engrossed in Star Wars for two animated series. If this guy gets the chance to move up to cinematic, if he doesn't take it, fans are going to riot.
Maybe he'll do the Kinberg movie.
Yeah, we'll see. As far as where I stand on this, guys, I'm kind of down in the middle again. Because I feel like someone like Michael Giacchino should probably take over the Saga films like 10, 11, and 12 after this, and then do what they've been doing with standalones where John Powell or Giacchino did Rogue One, and just do that. But I think there is some definite truth to what Pat said and some truth to what John said, because you want a cohesive thing that where a composer is able to like tell their story through three films, but at the same time, you don't want it to be this exclusive club, which I completely agree with you guys, and The Force is kind of with meh. All right, so on to our final story. Andy Serkis sat down with Entertainment Weekly and said that he had spoken to both J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson about Snoke's history, where he came from, and that he is likely around 200 years old or so. So Serkis acknowledges understanding some fan frustration with not knowing more about the mysterious villain, but said there is a purpose to that, as it allows for further exploration and layering at a further point. So here's my pitch to you guys. Lucasfilm should leave Snoke's backstory out of future films and address it in a Snoke novel down the line. James, is The Force with you on this?
Will Bill actually choose a side on this story, or will he say The Force is meh with him again?
Okay.
Force with you?
It's over. Okay, we got it. Anyway.
No, should they leave his backstory out of the future films and address it in a novel? I'm going to say no, The Force isn't with me. I don't really care where they put Snoke's backstory in. If they think it's important to go in a film, I'd love to see it in film if somehow he ties into that. But I think if they just want to kind of stay away from, they're like, look, we're not going to bring Snoke's backstory back into these films and all this other stuff. If we want to explore that character, we're going to do it like we normally do it, which is, you know, a little bit more on the novel side. I'm totally fine with that. I think it would be interesting to get like an early Snoke, like maybe this Snoke goes back, like we get a novel pre-Phantom Menace, you know what I mean? Maybe in some way he encounters Yoda, you know, maybe back then Snoke was a better person. So I don't know. I think that could be like an interesting novel, but to leave it out of the movies, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't bring him back in. I think that could be cool. So Force is not with me. I don't care where you tell his backstory. I really hope that Alliances does well so that we get Alliances 2. The Count Dooku and Snoke team up novel. That would be awesome. I don't know how they would do it.
A lot of explaining.
I don't know how they would
do
it. But I think it would be sweet.
But with all Skittles with a lightsaber. Patrick Covey, is The Force with you on this?
The Force is actually with me. This character is definitely multi-layered, especially in the fans' interest. They want to know more about this guy. Even though the directors have made it very clear, guys, this is just like a character we just had set in place so that Kylo could, they could further Kylo's story, do more with that character instead, which I totally appreciate them doing that. But at the same time, JJ set up this great character in Force Awakens, and I feel like if there's something they can do to explore it, a book is probably the best way to go so they're not under time constraint. You can really delve into some deeper stuff in a written novel. It would be kind of cool. And for all you know, Ezra or Ahsoka might run into Snoke, you know, in this 30-year gap before Force Awakens.
Absolutely. And finally, John Hoey, is The Force with you on the Snoke novel?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Why? Because we don't need it, but it would be cool to have if we want to know about it, which is to me what Star Wars novels serve as a main purpose, in my opinion. I kind of like what James was saying, how we can explore that in a future film and get into that and echoing what Pat was saying as well. But like with the argument about Palpatine and Return of the Jedi, no one cared where that guy came from. He was just evil and he served his purpose and that was it. And that's what Snoke was to me. I don't need to know everyone's backstory. That's like this new thing where we need origin stories. By the way, I can't wait to see Solo, a Star Wars story. But completely aside from that, I mean, that speaking of Enfys Nest, you know, maybe we'll get Snoke's first name and it'll be like Enfys Snoke or something.
Billy Bob Snoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enfys
I hope you
Nest
listen to Monday's
Snoke.
Episode.
You get over here.
Or Snoke Nest.
Snoke Nest.
Snoke Nest.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you listen to Monday's episode, I kind of went after Enfys Nest name. Not a big fan. But yeah, long story short, I dig it for a novel. Mm. I think it works. Like kind of like the non-canon Plagueis novel,
yeah.
But everyone kind of liked that. So yeah, the Force is with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with John and Patrick here. The Force is with me on this. I'm not going down the middle. So there you go, James. You can sit over there, take that seat, and just listen to what I got to say. And listening to the Last Jedi novelization, they've touched it a little bit. Not like where it like fully stays, okay, this is where he's from, but it touches it to the degree where you're like, oh, that's interesting. Tell me a little bit more about that. But before they do that, they go on to the story. So I'd be all for this. So the Force is definitely with me on this. Guys, that's all I've got for you today. Thank you so much for taking a seat. Now let me send it back to John for our Star Wars war.
Well, we took a hiatus on this, but it is back. It is time for Star Wars Wars.
I say we fight.
This week, we are going to debate. Should they make an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone film? And we have, I think, our first 2-versus-2 Star Wars War. Is that right, guys? Can we confirm that?
Sounds right. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this week, we have Pat and Bill on the side of they should make a Kenobi standalone film, and we have James and myself who believe they should not. Now, we'll give opening statements to each person just so the audience out there can get a vibe of what we're all about, but let's keep it quick so that we can take the gloves off and start brawling. So we'll start with Pat. Why should they make a Kenobi standalone film?
Ooh, starting off tough by picking me. Well, my opening statement will be that Kenobi is a character that was well explored in novels, television, and film. This is a character where we learned about his early history with some crazy stuff like Satine from the Clone Wars all the way up beyond his death in the afterlife. But at one point in particular in his life, his time on Tatooine has not been fully explored, and I really want them to explore that timeline.
Okay, and your arguing partner this week, Bill Sheehy, why do we need a Kenobi standalone film?
This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, because the first article I ever did for any site, whether it be Star Wars News Net, was the 6 reasons that we need an Obi-Wan Kenobi film. So I'm going to mirror a little bit of Pat's thoughts. And I would also say that, sure, there's a rich history, but I don't think we know enough about the character and his time on Tatooine. There just seems to be so many good things going for the film, so many things that are just the perfect fit, whether it be the actor or the time period. It all works for me. And I think that with the right crew, and I think they would put together the right crew, they could make an amazing movie.
All right, now for the other side, the two of us who feel like they should not make this movie, James, why should they not make a Kenobi film?
I think like right off the top of my head, like, you know, Pat's saying there's one area of time that hasn't been explored. And all I hear is like, is if a guy lived for 2 days and we heard the first day and we heard the second day, but we didn't hear about that sweet spot between midnight and 8 a.m.
that.
When he was sleeping. Like, it's like, that's the most boring, random 127
hours.
Like, I don't want to hear
Kenobi.
That story.
He got his arm stuck
in
a rock.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's not supposed to be doing anything during this time period. So, I mean, I just say, like, just leave it. Just let him be what he was supposed to be, a guy abandoned watching over.
Yeah, I'm echoing that from a few perspectives, not only just the story perspective, but I think now from a business perspective, kind of where we're at with the vibe of these standalone films, potentially what is going to happen with the outcome of Solo, and just my personal feelings about it. I'll get into why I feel like it's not going to... not only do I think they shouldn't make it, but why I think it won't happen. But let's have at it. Let's have a Star Wars war. Should they make a Kenobi film or not? Let's get into it.
All right, guys, here. So this is Kathleen Kennedy around the Rogue One era when it was coming out. And she said, there are possible movies that we've been talking about, but we are planning to sit down in January since we will have had The Force Awakens released and now Rogue One. And we finished shooting Episode 8. We have enough information where we can step back a little bit and say, what are we doing? What feels exciting? And what are some of the things that we want to explore? So I'm asking you guys, like, just ask yourself, is this the best place for the fandom in a world where we're trying, where we as diehards are generally trying to say, move away from the original trilogy era? Who walks away from this movie and is like, yes, finally, I got exactly what this, we got exactly what this franchise needed. You know, is this the common Star Wars fan, or is this someone in a Star Wars bubble? The same one who's asking for the Salacious Crumb trilogy.
Well, I mean, John's on your side. So, I mean, I don't necessarily.
He's not asking for a Salacious Crumb trilogy.
Well, here's the thing. The way that I see it, you have too many things in play that just, it makes sense for this to happen. One, you have the perfect actor. You don't need to recast some young or some older actor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. You don't have an Alden Ehrenreich situation. You have Ewan McGregor, who has not only played the role, has played it more than Alec Guinness, but has been a fan favorite of from the prequels. And whenever you sit down and you...
Fan favorite.
Okay.
Air quotes.
Listen, every time anybody, say what you will about the prequels, but the common theme throughout is that
Ian McDiarmid was the best part of the trilogy.
I know that from a certain point of view, yes, but what the people on my side are saying is that Ewan McGregor was one of the bright spots of the prequels.
Okay.
And with the interviews that that he's done,
because those movies were awesome.
Are you trying to bash the prequels, John?
Yes.
Is that where you're trying to go? Okay,
is that a thing?
Bash the prequels. You have the right actor. Not only that, I think you can bring back some other actors from the prequels as well. I mean, you Joel Edgerton has talked about wanting to play Owen at some point, which I think seeing, because you don't go from like mild-mannered Owen in episode 2 and episode 3 to, okay, I hate everything about the Jedi, Uncle Owen in episode
all right.
four.
But what's, franchise, Bill, man? You're saying, let's branch off of the prequels versus let's branch off of the original trilogy.
Let me challenge your point real quick. So I understand that the whole it makes too much sense thing because everyone loves Ewan McGregor. He's the perfect age for it. It fits. But I don't think that should be the reason to make a movie.
That's
because you said that was reason
one. That's not
one.
My soul.
You said that was reason one.
That was one of, okay, let me rephrase.
So
it was one of my reasons.
So you're saying we have so let's try to figure out a story because we have the actor. That's backwards to me.
There's plenty of time to figure out a story.
No. I feel like there's such a, there's so many years to work with in there. And we know from the comics he wasn't just standing there, and we know from Rebels he wasn't just standing there. Sure, he was looking over Luke's shoulder all the time, but there is so much potential there to me.
Then why, when Luke found him, he said Obi-Wan Kenobi? That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Just because he hasn't
this
been
is
Obi-Wan,
a guy who's so removed from everything that he doesn't even recognize the name anymore.
Just because he's using an old, like he's not using his old name, doesn't mean he's not doing Jedi things. I mean, when you look at the time period, it's kind of the Jedi are being hunted. He's been betrayed by his brother, someone he perceived as his brother. I think there's some like emotional. And like really dramatic stuff in there.
What about at the end of episode 3 when Yoda said we should go into hiding until the right time? Like, Obi-Wan's going to, like, go against that and be like, you know what? I'm going to do some Jedi things on this desert planet for a while just because.
He's not going to stay in place. And even as we saw in From a Certain Point of View, Yoda didn't stay in place. He was constantly doing stuff on Dagobah.
But then also, Bill, your second point was, oh, we have Joel Edgerton.
Constantly doing stuff on Dagobah.
No, okay.
But everybody wants him to leave Tatooine.
You never said he had to leave the planet.
Yeah. You're saying that one of my main points is, oh, Joel Edgerton wants to be in it. No, I just think that the story.
That was your second point.
Putting words into my mouth. But the fact that you have these actors that want to get into it is a strength for me, but you also have the potential for a lot of really, really cool emotional in-depth things from Obi-Wan that we haven't really seen.
Okay, in terms of the personal attachment, like I would love to see McGregor play Obi-Wan again too, and I think we still might, but somewhere else, not in his own movie. Like, there's no reason to say we might not see Ewan McGregor show up as Obi-Wan Kenobi somewhere else, and that would fit that need, which means you wouldn't need that movie. Like, I could see him coming back even in Favreau's live-action TV series, which I was saying earlier that I think they may pepper Darth Vader into that to try to sell things. And if you add Obi-Wan Kenobi into that somewhere, that'll sell too. It'll bring people to the streaming service, but I mean, it'll serve that need that you're saying is, oh, well, we have Ewan, he wants to do it, he'd love to do it. And it would still not, you know, you wouldn't have to make this whole movie about Obi-Wan Kenobi while he's supposed to be in exile.
I hear from a lot of people that they want to hear that they want to see a think piece, like, you know, his meditation, where he's at. He just lost all of, you know, his friends.
I said that.
All of his buddies and stuff.
And I kind
of
changed my tune on it because I felt like I was in Bill's camp where I was like, I just want this so bad because it makes sense. And I've detached myself from that.
It still doesn't make sense, and I think that's our point, is that there's real life factors like, oh, we could get an actor, but you could get an actor for, you know, any movie, and then that's Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have an actor that can play Jyn Erso, so the fact that we have an actor that can play Obi-Wan doesn't mean we have to make the Obi-Wan movie. But I want to go back to that think piece thing real quick, like, nobody wants a think piece Star Wars movie. We argued a couple weeks ago that nobody wants an R-rated movie. So if you don't want an R-rated movie, then you don't get genre film. You
Star Wars can't have think piece and romantic comedy and all this other stuff. Star Wars is going to get old and stale if you just keep on doing the same thing.
Let's make
thing
a movie about an old guy in the desert.
No.
My point is that we're not ready for that yet. People aren't even ready to get the R rating on it, let alone
go
down this
genre. I'm not saying you make the R-rated Obi-Wan movie.
No, I'm not saying that either.
But here's the thing. I mean, I think if we've learned anything from comic book movies in the past year, Logan was one of my favorite favorite comic book movie of all time because it was so different. It felt like a really, really good Western, and I don't usually like Westerns. But it was just so emotional and raw. It felt like something completely different, but it was in a universe that felt familiar. I think you don't necessarily need to do the R rating because I don't think that would work for Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
But you can do something.
Which I'm not saying.
Yeah, yeah. You can do something similar to that and still make it like, just make it feel like Star Wars.
Let me ask you something. What would be a good Obi-Wan Kenobi movie? Like, pretend I'm Kathleen Kennedy. Pitch me a story for an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone movie.
All right, picture this. I got to start with that every time when you're pitching
the
a
aristocrats.
Movie.
Picture this.
Picture this. I know a bunch of you have read the Marvel comics regarding Obi-Wan Kenobi in those journals of Ben Kenobi. I know James especially has really dived into that because we talked about that a couple weeks ago as to kind of introing this actual debate tonight. And that is, back in that time, there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, he's there early on in Tatooine, early in Luke's life, but there's like a 10-year gap between there and then when we see him again in Rebels. And I, personally, to me, I feel like Obi-Wan is more of a emotionally broken man during those days. And then when we see him again in Rebels, he almost has like this sense of calm and peace. And there's something different about him. He's a changed man.
But who goes to see?
I feel like there's something there. You have to. I'm not saying it's a think piece. He has to go through some sort of trial, not necessarily of the Force, but a trial of who he is as a man. Is he going through?
And not only that,
Who goes to see Star Wars movies?
Everyone.
Okay, but
literally everyone.
Mainly families, right? Kids, Families.
Generally okay. Families.
I mean, you're going to wipe out the whole youth audience if you're going to try to do some kind of solitude, sad, solemn
What was
think
Rebels?
Piece.
What was Rebels? Rebels was the trials of a boy named Ezra who grew up.
Pat,
same
Rebels
concept.
Was a Y7 cartoon. You're talking about doing a think
okay,
piece
now,
about
don't,
a solemn
now
man.
It's still Star Wars. Now it feels like you're
the
belittling Rebels
nothing.
Because, oh, it's only for
you
kids.
You asked me for story. You didn't ask me for rating.
Okay, so you want to do an Obi-Wan, he's in the desert by himself story that is this in the similar vein as Rebels?
I never said he had to be alone. I said he had
okay,
to go
okay,
through
let
certain
me,
trials.
He has to go through a trial. What kind of a trial are we talking? Are we talking like a temple that opens up and he needs to Indiana Jones his way through it? Or
this is
are
a
we
trial.
Talking like a creature comes and threatens Luke and he needs to defeat that? Or
Jedi
Vader
been...
shows up? What's your trial?
Vader so here's the thing.
To find out what first name he wants to go by, and then at the end,
Jedi
he
are
Ben.
Taught from a young age to be selfless. Jedi are selfless. This is the first time in Obi-Wan's life he is truly and deeply by himself, having to learn things by himself. Of course, he has the Force presence of, you know, Yoda talking to him through the Force and Qui-Gon occasionally, but this is the point where he has to learn how to truly survive.
So by himself.
As
so
himself.
Is he going to have a volleyball
by himself,
there with him to talk to?
Okay, no,
this
now,
is not Castaway.
Now you're turning
it basically
into something
is Castaway, and you guys are trying to make interesting story.
No, because... I like some of what Pat's saying, but to me, what I think would make a compelling story is someone is after Luke. A former Jedi, let's say Quinlan Voss, who we already know has gone to the dark side at some point, or has dabbled
and
with the dark
disappeared.
Side.
We don't know where he's gone.
We figure out that, oh, he's doing the bounty hunter thing. He finds out through some way, he uses the Force, he figures it out, that these kids are... the offspring of Anakin Skywalker and Padme. And after Vader destroyed the Jedi, after Anakin destroyed the Jedi, he's out for revenge and wants to kill the offspring of Anakin Skywalker. I think that could be a cool thing where it shows that he's protecting Luke. He's protecting for somebody from
okay,
who would actually be a threat. But who would,
that sounds good. But what if Kathleen Kennedy hears that pitch and says, I don't know who Quinlan Voss is. That's way too inside baseball.
I don't.
Our audience isn't going to know who that
the
is.
Secret brother of
that,
Dragon
you
Boss.
Could easily you could easily introduce it. Just say Dark Jedi easily. After Luke. That's you. It's not hard to convey that to a general audience.
Dark Jedi?
Or
like?
Yeah, why not?
Like someone, you're saying someone who used to be on the Jedi, but now he's not.
Yeah.
He's evil.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a Sith.
I don't like the idea of like an action adventure old man Kenobi thing. Like him fighting Voss to me just seems like it's a bigger event that that's not what he was doing. Like I think
he was
I'm not
before,
normally the person
before Rebels
that
he wasn't fighting Maul in the desert, so we can obviously do different and cool things with it.
But that wasn't his place either. Ezra brought that to him, and he said, I don't want to have to kill Maul.
Well,
I'm
do you
going
think he
to
learned?
Have to
well, I mean,
now that you've done that.
Maybe he had to kill Voss, and that's kind of like how he learned his lesson. Listen, I'm just spitballing here. But I think that just by, like, this is me, like, just spitballing stuff. I think you can, there's interesting stuff to be told
there. All
right,
there. Now, story aside, I want to introduce another element to this, and it's called dollars. And Han Solo... I think most people would say is a more popular figure than Obi-Wan Kenobi to most fans. If this movie doesn't do well for a Star Wars movie, what is an Obi-Wan?
The Han Solo movie?
Yeah. What if it ducks out at like 260 domestic and it doesn't do that great? It doesn't get the greatest ratings, whatever. Even with a stacked cast with Ron Howard, with Larry Kasdan, whatever. What is that going to say about, but now we're going to follow up with an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie?
Well, now you're talking about hypotheticals.
No, I'm not.
So, I mean,
no, I'm not at all.
I'm talking about
Bob Iger saying,
I think this
movie tanked. No, it shouldn't have.
It's not going to tank. So, I mean,
it's not going
at the end of the day, it's
a Star Wars movie. If Han Solo comes
Wars
in at $260 million, that's a failure, especially for the budget.
It's not going to. We got the characters that...
Especially for the budget that we know this movie had to undertake with the reshoots.
We got with Rogue One. We got characters that we had no idea who they were, and it still did really, really, really well. So I don't think that you're going to see that with Solo.
Do you think that Han Solo is going to beat what Rogue One did?
I think it'll
not even close.
It may match it. I think it may match it.
It'll
I think you guys are
may,
over. Yeah. I think
it,
you're underestimating
it. It may match it. So you think that it may match it. All right, that's fine. Let's go with that for a second. So then you think like a Yoda or a Boba Fett or a Kenobi movie would pull people in more than a Han Solo movie or less?
I think
it really just
same.
Depends
I mean,
on the angle they're approaching
yeah,
it, really.
Because
but,
once,
but
once
Kenobi
again.
And Yoda are less profitable or less known names than the name Han Solo.
I wouldn't say that. Yoda is like one of the biggest marketing ventures in history.
About this. I think it was last May, Kathleen Kennedy, everything was all good. We have Lord Miller, they're killing mm-hmm. it, Solo, Fuente Ventura, they're filming there. She's like, in a month or so, we're going to announce the third standalone movie.
In July, yeah. She said.
Then they fire the directors. They have to get Ron Howard in to fix this thing. Solo all of a sudden isn't a guaranteed goldmine cash cow. Mm-hmm. And then we never heard from her again.
You know what's actually funny about
I
that?
I think that's
that
more
whole, like thing that you just brought up. She didn't really even say that. The guy back when that interview happened, the MTV reporter said, how soon can we expect the next spinoff announcement? My money is on, as many fans are, an Obi-Wan movie. This was her response. I think we're getting close. My hope would be sometime around the summer. I never want to predict the creative process because it's its own thing. So we're in the midst of those discussions right now. Mm-hmm. You know what the article name for that was? It was The Last Jedi producer Kathleen Kennedy talks about the very real possibility of an Obi-Wan spinoff movie. No, she didn't.
Nope.
Had nothing to do with Obi-Wan. He said that his money was on an Obi-Wan movie, and she said, to answer your question, we're in talks about discussing the next standalone. I'm hoping by the summer. Has nothing to do with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was never in the cards.
That's not necessarily true. That's a PR move.
She didn't say that it wasn't in the card. She just said
she
we're
say
working
yes
on
or
our
no.
next move. So
what I'm saying is that everybody seems to think that we were on the road to get this Kenobi movie because the way he proposed the question is his money's on Obi-Wan. When are we going to get it? And she said, I'm hoping to make an announcement by summer.
Here's the difference,
well, then,
though.
But then everything happened with Solo. So, I mean, they obviously had a PR nightmare, and they were trying to get rid of that. So, I mean, they fixed
Solo
it.
But Solo has been announced for a long time.
But it's been announced.
We're not talking about Solo.
No. But, like, just because it hasn't been announced doesn't mean that it's not in the pipeline.
And then we got the news about Stephen Daldry in August. So
yeah, but
that was
what
a
I'm
real
saying
possibility.
Is why
that something
do you
was,
think it's in the pipeline? There's no evidence to prove that it's in the pipeline.
But there's no evidence to prove that it's not.
Why would you bring up Stephen Daldry if there wasn't something there?
I know, but okay, well then the Ahsoka movie's coming out this summer.
Whoa, really?
Well, like, there's no evidence to prove that it's not happening.
I'm still waiting for Bill and Pat to give me a good Obi-Wan story. I haven't heard that yet. And I'm also
Well, they're not writing it in their defense.
Yeah, but,
like,
yeah, but
I don't,
if they want
know?
It so bad, they must have an idea of a story they want. And two,
I just came up with one.
And two, that was horrendous. I forgot what it was. It was so bad.
Well, you're just because you're on the other side, you're trying to win, but you know, it's
no. And the other one is just the dollars and cents. Like I said, like if Solo sputters, there's no chance an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie would do better than it would.
Yeah, there might not even be a chance of another spinoff at that
See?
Point.
There you go, Pat.
So, but that has nothing to do with Kenobi. That just has the fact of Solo's performance. That's Solo's
They've
performance.
They've already announced
probably.
Ryan Johnson's trilogy and the Benny and Weiss one. I don't think they're not doing
but that's
any...
Not a, that, those aren't I, spinoffs. Those are no, series yeah. or trilogies.
I think what Pat is saying is right. Is they're testing the water with Han Solo, which is the most profitable one. And if Han Solo makes money, then they're like, cool. Maybe we can move forward with some of these other standalone characters and do their own movies. But if Han Solo doesn't, they're not gonna put money into another standalone movie with a lesser known or lesser.
Exactly.
What are you? Whose like, team character. Are you
that's
on?
That's why
dude.
They're holding. That's why they're holding back from making an official announcement. They really want to make sure that this is the right direction to go. Because from an executive or business standpoint, you want these spinoffs individually. You want them to perform well, regardless of what it is.
I think they're ready to say goodbye to the whole something a Star Wars story. One, because it's too long to say, and two, it's annoying to type and then put it into italics. And
Well, if you're writing articles every day, of course, I do.
All joking aside, I think Rogue One, very successful. Han Solo, we'll see. But you would imagine that we would have heard something if they were confident in an Obi-Wan film by now. That's the only thing. You would imagine we would have heard something. And if you listen to older episodes, I was all about an Obi-Wan film because of the fan service in me. I wanted more McGregor as Obi-Wan. I understand, Bill, he was your favorite character, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You bought our t-shirt that says High Ground because you love Obi-Wan Kenobi. I would love to see him again. Now, like I said, maybe we could see him in that live action series. It doesn't mean if we don't get a Kenobi film that we can't see him again. So that might serve that need that we all kind of have for a fan service without having to force upon us an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone.
Well,
movie.
And here's kind of how I see it. Like, just because like Pat or I can't come up with a good story right now doesn't mean yeah, exactly. Shame. Doesn't mean
we're not writers, Dave, though. We're not movie writers.
Dave Filoni or any other writer could come up with a really, really compelling.
I understand.
Compelling story for it. So that I understand what you're saying, but I just think that there's so much that where there's so much writing against the Han Solo movie. I think there's so much writing for an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie in terms of just you get the right people, you have the right actors, you just get the right story, and there you go. You can make a compelling story.
The team's already setting itself
up. But make a compelling story out of a time period where the story has for years been that nothing happened. That was kind of the point that after Revenge of the Sith, Kenobi away and nothing happened.
Then why have a Rogue One movie or why have a Solo movie if nothing happened?
Well,
because those things did happen.
Well, yeah, so there you go. So the things that with Kenobi happened.
James means what I'm saying is even Kenobi.
Kenobi, yeah.
I mean, I like history as much as the next person.
My point is even the crawl of the crawl of A New Hope said, they just won their first major victory against the evil Galactic Empire. I mean, that means that day one Star Wars airing, they already told us that there was stuff going on before this. But, like, his story in that same movie was that, like, oh, he's just an old hermit. Nothing exciting happened. He's always been there.
But why?
What made him that hermit?
He's been there for 20 years. And Luke has probably remembered.
That's what made him.
Luke has probably remembered him for at least 12 or 7 or let's
and
do
he knows him
10.
As old, so Ben, a crazy old wizard.
Yeah, exactly.
How did they know he's a crazy old wizard? That's not been flushed out all the way. Was that just something that Owen told him, or was that something that was like well known around the community?
Because
we don't know. So
Obi-Wan just brought him his nephew, and like, the why does he hate him so much? He brought him something that somebody that he loves and wants to take care of. So I just,
Bill, are you turning on me?
No, I'm not turning on you. I'm on your team.
Now, I like mystery as much as the next Scooby-Doo fan, but there's more. There's something obviously more there. I feel like there's just something missing. Now, if you were to give me something compelling that's, you know, like you guys were saying, something in a TV series that necessarily isn't film length, but still satiates love of the character of Kenobi and still...
No,
there's something transitional there. It's not locking. It's like a locked
Pat,
door.
That's fine.
We got to figure
that's
out what
fine.
It is.
Look, if you think there's something there and they can tell that story in a $3 comic
no,
book,
no.
That's fine.
No,
if they want to explore it.
Pat.
That's not what we're arguing. We're saying the only way to explore this character and the best way to do it is to put together a $120 million film.
Yep.
Like, and that's the only option in this argument is, should they make the Kenobi movie? There's this weird little thing about, and they never really explained how people know he's a wizard. You know what? We need to create a movie that's just as epic
and engaging as Rogue One. I have to admit,
all these other movies.
I would give me 90 to 120 minutes of him looking through a name book and finding out what he should call himself. That is compelling. That is compelling.
Y'all
and then
are
at
just
the end,
looking at it the
and
wrong
then at the end, hold on,
way.
Bill, I'm not done. And then at the end, he's on a page, and he looks up at the twin sun setting, and he says, "I'm gonna call myself Ben."
You know, it's funny. I know you're joking, but at the same time, like, that's one of the things that I hear from people that want a Kenobi movie. Like, what caused him to change his name to Ben? It's like, there, you really okay. want to explore that?
No.
Listen, you want a 2-hour film?
To be clear.
I know you're joking, but I've heard that. I've heard that there's these missing components. I mean, Pat's even arguing. There's these things about the wizard, and why is he called a wizard, and why did he change his name to Ben? And I'm like, you want to go there. You want to create a movie that's going to draw people in. Yeah. I mean, that's a footnote in a visual dictionary somewhere.
Do we need an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie?
Just dudes being bros, you know?
Just dudes being bros in terms of furthering the character, I would say no. But in terms of this battle, yes.
Okay, when did this become a 3-on-1? 3-1. When did this become a 3-on-1? Oh, God. Okay, whatever. You know, it's okay. I'm going to take that knife out of my back real quick, and then we'll talk
I love your music group, The Lonely Island.
Thank you. You know what? Cool guys don't look at explosions. The Solo story.
Bill, and I don't know if we're arguing with Pat anymore. I mean, do you think this diminishes his character? Like, you don't think that there's saying that he went into this place and he was in isolation for 20 years. Oh, except for that time he had this crazy full on-screen cinematic thing. Like, you don't think that takes away from what they tried to set up in A New Hope
I think that you can make it better, because when you look at Obi-Wan in terms of where he is in the films, Alec Guinness had, I don't know what the specific screen time is, but he's not really fully we don't know all of his backstory and some of the things that he was doing. For me personally, and I know what this is Star Wars War and we're talking about why we want an Obi-Wan movie. I think that having that backstory and having a little bit of what he was doing on Tatooine is, I think it's incredibly important, because to go back to your earlier point where we didn't know what was happening or blah, blah, blah. We didn't know what was happening with Han Solo either, but we're having a 2.5 hour long movie, $120 million movie about him. So I think,
but I'll tell you what was happening with Han Solo. He definitely wasn't sitting in the desert,
but he was smuggling and sneaking around.
Just because he's on one planet does not mean that he can do some really, really cool and really, really kind of interesting.
I have
stuff.
One other analogy for you that to me, this is like, we get a movie. It doesn't matter what it's about, but at the end of the movie, one of the characters goes into solitary confinement. He gets put away there for like 20 years or something. Right. Then when we get the sequel to that movie, they show 20 years later and he comes out of solitary confinement and he's a different person, and people really latch onto that. And they're like, man, this guy was cool, but what made him that way? What was he doing in solitary confinement that whole time? And then try to go back and like add another movie, like somewhere where it's like, it's the untold story of when he was in solitary confinement and he became this thing where he actually escaped. He got out and he had a whole adventure on the outside of the jail. And then he came back.
I don't think the analogy works, because he wasn't, I mean, solitary confinement.
He was trapped on that planet.
He wasn't trapped in one room.
Bill,
he was doing his own thing.
I think he's in fear of being found.
How about the people who say they want Vader involved too? And
No. Once again, the right people doing there's plenty of room for really, really cool story. I don't think Vader would make sense in it, because
it wouldn't make any sense. Imagine Vader on the Death Star. I sense something, a presence I haven't felt since Thursday.
That meeting between Obi-Wan and Vader has to they can't have seen each other like a week ago.
Okay, all right. So you guys aren't completely crazy.
He doesn't want to go back.
Yeah, no. I think
just a little crazy.
I wouldn't even say a little crazy, because I think you look at a couple crazy millennials out here. but I think if you polled the Star Wars community right now, I think you'd probably get a majority want an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, and I think that
I agree as well.
I think that once again, Dave Filoni.
But why?
I don't. You know what?
There's something that's alluring about it. There's something alluring.
If you want a Kenobi movie, listeners, just listen to what we're saying and no, think about
let's,
it.
Let's, you know
why
what?
Do you really right. want
let's
it?
Let's put a poll out there. Poll next week. Do you let's want a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie?
I mean, we have a lot of polls to run with the Star Wars March Madness.
The next poll that we do.
Maybe we'll do it.
If the fans speak and they say, I definitively do not want an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, I'll drop it. But I think there is just too much
and then,
good stuff in
then
there.
Then we'll talk about should we have a Qui-Gon movie.
You know what? Why not? Bring
I think
Taking meets Star
you can
Wars.
Get Liam Neeson and then put him in a movie and then come up with a
he
story.
He already said
afterwards.
He would do.
We have
he already
the perfect
said he would come back and do
right
Kenobi.
Now.
He said he would come back and do Kenobi and do some Force Ghost stuff.
Yeah,
or in this case,
you can only
the
do his voice. You can only do his voice.
Voiceover, yeah.
You can only
voiceover.
Do. You can only do
wait a minute,
sequels for so long, Pat.
That's true.
Yeah, that guy who played the background character in Jabba's palace is still alive. Like,
that's
let's
true.
Use
okay.
the opportunity.
That's
you're
true.
Comparing, you're comparing apples and pig demons.
They,
so, I'm,
dude,
but
they
the thing
have
is,
the Sarlacc
and this,
puppet. They still have that Sarlacc puppet.
This is gonna be my like main point, and I'll probably end up leaving on this like. The beloved character thing, right? You're saying like you can't compare Kenobi to the background character of this, but we are getting a movie with a beloved character, mm-hmm. Han Solo, and you know how the trans are feeding or the fans are treating it. Don't want it. Never ask for it. Why, Lucasfilm? Why would you do this to us? We don't want to know these untold stories. We're sick of it. We want what we
I
really
think you're
want
wrong
is,
about
is
Obi,
Kenobi.
Man. I really think
and,
you're
and
wrong about Obi.
But you know what? In a separate conversation, ask anybody what they want from like a cool like television series or like a standalone movie. They say Underworld, 1313, Bounty Hunter, gritty gangster stuff, you know? And then guess what? Guess who fits that? Han Solo. He fits all those categories.
So
that
why isn't
a,
he on
that
TV?
That is a story that's easily told.
Why isn't
they
he
could,
on
they
TV
could go
then?
Into all that I stuff. But you know what? The fans don't want no, it. They want no. the Kenobi movie, man. They want the one where the character's been clearly established as a hermit. They want the movie where someone he's been so removed, he doesn't even
blah,
go by that name
blah,
anymore.
Blah,
so he's
blah,
been in isolation.
Blah,
that's
blah,
the story
right,
we
so
want.
We're
going
to take that as James' closing argument then, and we should wrap it up. So, Bill, what is your closing argument on why we should have a Kenobi movie?
Okay, my closing argument. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were guardians of the of peace and justice in the Old Republic before the Dark Times. And while I was on Tatooine, I was a badass Jedi who can do everything. So there's some closing thoughts.
Okay, so Obi-Wan Kenobi can build sandcastles. Pat, what is your closing argument for why we should get, why they should make an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone movie?
If the fans were so pushy to make Underworld a TV show, then why isn't Solo a TV show in the first place? And Kenobi is the cinematic experience. I'm not dissing on Solo here. I think I'm going to really enjoy that film. But if the fans are really wanting to go that direction, why didn't it go to TV in the first place? That's my big gripe.
All right, so that's your gripe, but why should they make a Kenobi standalone movie?
It's a no-brainer. There's a decade of time where he can do anything.
Almost two decades,
but from where we saw him last in the Marvel Comics Journals of Ben Kenobi up to Rebels. That's about a decade or a little over a decade. So there's a lot of room to play in there. It's not like James was saying where it's like, what happened between midnight, 8 a.m.? No, there's a couple weeks and months in there too. So there's more room to play.
My final point is... The bullet points here. Story-wise, I don't see anything compelling that they can do without taking him away from what he was there to do. I personally, aside from like wanting the fan service of seeing Ewan McGregor again with the robe and all that stuff, if I remove that, I have nothing to bring forth that they should make a movie out of this. And finally, just financially, I don't know that Han Solo is going to do great. It will do great for a normal movie. I don't know that it will do great for a Star Wars movie, and I don't imagine an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie doing better than a Han Solo movie. And I'm thinking Kathleen Kennedy may be thinking that. So all those things combined, I just don't think they should do it, but I would be totally down with rectifying that fan service by bringing Obi-Wan Kenobi back with Ewan McGregor in the TV series or somewhere else where he doesn't need his own film to himself. which Obi-Wan Kenobi was never a main character, so there was no reason for him to have his own movie.
If somebody goes to Tatooine and Ewan McGregor is there, much like he is in Rebels, and he makes an appearance like that,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
That would be fine, but like, I don't think he needs his own adventure.
Now, let me...
Go ahead, Bill.
Let me
final
paint
thoughts
this.
Are hard.
Secondary statements.
I can name you at least four people who would be the first in line if an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie happens. James Bainey, Patrick Covey, John Hoey, Bill Sheehy.
I'm also watching Forces of Destiny and buying the Star Wars Adventure
comics.
Well,
you're in the line, right?
I mean, it's just part of it there,
illness,
but I'm not saying, like, should they make Star Wars Adventure comics?
It's an
comics?
Illness, and all of our yes. fans out there understand
especially
that.
If it costs $120 yeah. million dollars to make a comic for this story where, you know, Rey goes off and, like, feeds yeah. birds or something.
I would love that.
All of our listeners out there understand that even if they throw us a gonk movie, we're probably going to go see it, right? So that
we're all
going to
go see it. Yeah,
and I'm still pushing for Crumb, a Star Wars story, as we all know.
Salacious Crumb in the Pick of Destiny.
So vote for Salacious Crumb if he's still in the tourney. That pretty much wraps it up here. What do you guys think based on this argument, this debate? I think it was a little friendlier than our one about the worst lightsaber fight, which was probably our worst ever in terms of how
I still hate
it,
you.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm still dead from the Rogue One versus Last Jedi one, so I don't know how I'm here.
But who do you think, who do you side with? Is it Bill and Pat that they should make the movie, or is it James and I that they shouldn't? And what do you think? What are your thoughts on it? And let us know in the comments of the episode and, you know, on emails or whatever. So that pretty much wraps up our Star Wars war for this week. Pat, I believe we have an expanded universe situation going on. So why don't you let us know what's happening in the fan community?
All right. We were doing some Twitter soul searching here the past few days, and we pulled up some good ones. This first one comes from one of our podcast listeners, Dom Kival, and he shared a picture of him and his wife donating their time wearing Jedi robes at the Rapid City Public Library for a Star Wars day. And they got to take pictures with kids and their families. And if you guys want to check out those photos, I think we'll probably throw them in the episode description, or you guys can go check those over at the Rapid City Public Library Facebook page. Really cool. Huge salute to you guys. Those are some pretty cool robes, weren't they?
They are. And let me tell you, William is a great American. He cheers for the University of Kentucky Wildcats. Love me some William. This is awesome, man. I'm really, really happy you guys got to do this. Hashtag BBN, hashtag Cats by 90.
You know, it actually amazes me when you see like Chris Pratt, you know, going out as Star-Lord mm-hmm. to these hospitals mm-hmm. and things for the kids. And then, you know, there's like this little grain of salt that's saying, like, yeah, but, you know, I know that those guys are doing it for the right reasons, but you could almost argue, you know, but there's some PR in there and they're kind of supposed to do mm-hmm. it because they're in the spotlight. But like, I love to see when just like average, ordinary people like do this stuff because they just think it's the right
yeah.
thing to do,
mm-hmm. yep.
you know? And I love that this guy went to he goes to these places and he does these things just simply so the kids and their families can celebrate Star Wars, so they can just have fun being at the public
yeah,
library.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
that's important to get kids
Absolutely.
To go there.
Yeah, we live in a dark world at times, and Star Wars is our escape. And the fact that William and his wife went to Rapid City Public Library, and he said on that library's Facebook page, you can see the photos, and they did photo ops with the kids. And I mean, it's just cool to have some escapism for yourself as an adult, put your bills away, put a Jedi robe on, head to the library, and give some kids a great time. They get to meet Jedi. They probably think they're meeting real Jedi. I mean, that's just wonderful. So props to you, William, and your wife. That is so awesome. Just like James said, you know, you're not gaining anything from this. You're just doing it to be a great person and having a good time while you're doing it. So we need more of that. So cheers to you, William.
Yeah, plus on the positive side, getting kids into some Star Wars reading is not a half bad idea.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Some real
Making
canon
some
junkies
canon
out
junkies,
there.
Baby. There you go.
They can read that Kenobi standalone book.
Oh, I hate you.
Pat, do we have anything else?
Yeah, we got one more. I had to share a funny one because this one was pretty damn funny when I found it on Twitter. This one comes from Margot Sama, and it's a hilarious image of Poe calling Hux General Hugs in honor of that recent confirmation from The Last Jedi novelization. Guys, this was great.
Yeah, you know what's funny? The first time I saw the movie, which was at the world premiere in Los Angeles, I didn't know he said hugs.
Okay, humble brag. You thought I was going to let you get away with that. What are you? Get that out of here.
Congratulations, by the way.
I'm so sorry.
That was awesome.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know he said hugs, so I just thought he said hugs. I had no idea. And then I saw people talking about it on Twitter. I'm like, dude, I'm like Andy Bernard when he's watching that movie with Jim and Pam, and I just feel like I'm missing out on all the points.
Jack Black with the old lady. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Jim and Pam are movie super geniuses. But this is funny. This is great. That's awesome. Margot Sama, good job.
I always love being able to celebrate good art and funny art, and this is another example of someone who's kind of taking, I don't want to say liberties because it's kind of happened, you know, right, in the movies, but I think they're having some fun with them kind of standing next to each other and kind of looking like they're in high school, but they, you know, but they are rivals to some degree, you know, yeah, what I mean? One's the jock and one's the nerd or something like that. But no, it's definitely good artwork and definitely good chuckles.
Yeah, after the fans brought it up to me on Twitter about the whole hugs thing, like, now every time I watch The Last Jedi, I can't not think about that scene. So this just added a little bit of whipped cream to the top of that joke. So thank you, Margot Sama. All right, I think that wraps everything up for Resistance Expanded Universe this week. So we're going to send it back to John to wrap this puppy up.
All right, if you see anything in the fan community, whether it's a fan video, artwork, charity, whatever, even if it's your own work, just tweet it out and use the hashtag ResistanceEU, and we'll find it, and we'll talk about it on the show. Be sure to subscribe to the Resistance Broadcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and like our episodes on SoundCloud and YouTube. It really goes a long way, so if you could take a few seconds to do that, we appreciate it. For all of your latest Star Wars news, reviews, editorials, and information, go to our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com. James Bainey, where can people find you?
Well, the quickest and easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter and Instagram, at Meyer Trunks. But if you guys are subscribers on Reddit, on like our Star Wars or Star Wars speculation, these subreddits, we post our episodes there and we get comments. Like, people are talking about the episodes and they're getting into discussion, but every single week we get downvoted to zero. And I don't know what's going on with that, because it's just something in the subreddits. If you guys have the opportunity and you see us in those subreddits, go in and just like give us the upvote. It's not that our shows are engaging or people don't want it, because they're talking in the comments, but there's like they're just not aware to upvote. And then like one person will come in and be like, oh, they only have one upvote, down. And it's killing our shows that we're not getting exposure. And I've talked to the moderators about it, and they're aware of the problem, that it's not just us, it's everybody on that subreddit. So if you guys are on Reddit, go breathe life and upvote not us, but everybody. Like, if you like a story, upvote it, let it breathe, stop the clown, you know, from the clowners from dragging everybody down.
Right on. I just signed up for Reddit too, so I'm trying to figure that out myself. Maybe I downvoted us by accident. I don't know.
Yeah. You're like, it's the one that points down.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with this.
Yeah.
All right. Pat, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me not watching the digital version of The Last Jedi, because I'm still waiting for my Blu-ray copy, which shouldn't be too much longer from now. So for all of you Blu-ray waiters, come join the crew with me. You guys can find me on Twitter at Ganon136 and Ganon136 over on the Cantina Forum. If you guys haven't already checked out the Cantina Forum, please do. 8,000 plus members, all talking Star Wars 24/7, 365. Thank you very much, and may the Force be with you.
Right on. Yeah, digital just came out a couple days ago, and we have, I don't know, what are we, about 12 days away from the Blu-rays being out for The Last Jedi. Bill Sheehy, where are you at, buddy?
You guys can find me on my hut in Tatooine watching the digital version of The Last Jedi and then waiting 12 days later to get the physical copy.
Dedication.
There you go. Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Star Wars Bill. Thank you guys so much for coming up and talking to me at Lexington Comic Con. I had a lot of fun. We got a video coming out soon. Really, really looking forward to bringing you that. I had a lot of fun doing that, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So may the Force be with you.
Awesome. And I am John Hoey. You can find me on Twitter at Johnny Hoey and writing and editing over at StarWarsNewsNet.com. Thank you for listening. Please keep spreading the word to anyone you know that likes Star Wars, as our shows are easy to find, easy to listen to, plenty of platforms, and the best way to spread the word of our show is by word of mouth. So anyone you know that likes Star Wars, just let them know about the show, have them check it out, and hopefully they come on board and join the resistance. Be sure to vote on those hashtag Star Wars March Madness polls every round so we can finally determine definitively who the coolest Star Wars character of all time is. They're easy to find by just looking up that hashtag. We'll be right back at you with a brand new show on Monday morning with the next round of character matchup polls to vote on, the Sweet 16. And make sure you're subscribed and ready for our next transmission right here on the Resistance Broadcast.